You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, is director of practitioner of the Practitioner Alliance Network and an author of a number of different books, including Cures A to Z and his best-selling From Fatigue to Fantastic. Dr. Teitelbaum, welcome to the show.
Dave, always a pleasure to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about Lyme disease. What is it, and why should we be thinking about it?
Well, for many people, it's a very difficult and crazy-making illness. It's an infection that's borne by ticks, usually, with what's called a spirochete infection. The problem is, one, there is no reliable test for it. The tests that come up positive often, I think, are overly sensitive, and the standard lab tests will miss the majority of people who have Lyme disease. In addition, the symptoms are symptoms that can commonly be seen with 100 other conditions as well, and that are poorly understood. So when people go to the doctor and they say, I'm tired, achy, brain fog, can't sleep, I have numbness and tingling in my hands and feet, things like that, the doctor just scratches their head and says, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you. And then the person goes online and they look up these symptoms. And if they may have a dozen different things that come up, but if Lyme disease comes up, then they're kind of stuck because, one, they're going to have trouble finding a doctor to treat it. And then the doctor will often give a lot of antibiotics. So what we're going to do today is give people who have these symptoms a good understanding of what to do, how to get well, and how to make sense of this whole craziness that's out there. It's crazy on both sides, frankly.
How prevalent is Lyme disease, would you think?
Well, since nobody knows, because there is no test that defines it that's really accurate. So if you ask the standard infectious disease doctors, I would guess that they would figure on the order of maybe 1 out of 100 or less people will have it. If you ask Lyme specialists, they'll say everybody and their dog has it. So the truth, I suspect, is somewhere in the middle.
So I was reading an article a few months back, and it was talking about a community, and I think somewhere in the States, that people were getting sick, and they were trying to figure out, and I guess they brought an investigator in, and he went into the bushes, and I guess apparently all these ticks were in there that can transmit Lyme disease. How prevalent are these ticks, and in terms of that are causing Lyme disease, throughout North America, for example?
Well, it's a tricky thing because, first of all, the ticks that most people see and they panic are dog ticks. So the ones that you can actually see hanging on you and you grab them with your fingers and, you yank them off, those are not the ones that transmit Lyme disease. The ones that transmit Lyme disease, or deer ticks, are the size of a period at the end of a sentence.
Okay.
So those are the ones. And most doctors feel that they have to be on your body a good 24 hours before they can transmit the infection. So, again, what percent, anybody's guess. It's more prevalent in areas, Lyme is the name of a city in Connecticut, where that was especially prevalent. So in the northeastern part of the continent, more common. As you go less west, maybe a bit less common. What percent of ticks? That's anybody's guess.
Dr. Teitelbaum, what percentage of the population has fibromyalgia or symptoms of fibromyalgia that could either be Lyme disease or ticks? Lyme disease or fibromyalgia, I guess.
We're looking at 2 to 4% of the population have fibromyalgia. 2% have a severe form, another 2% have a moderate form. And again, fibromyalgia, basic symptoms, tired, achy, widespread pain associated with insomnia, and brain fog. So if you have that pattern, basically that represents an energy crisis where people have blown a fuse. And Lyme disease is one of literally over 100 things that can cause you to blow a fuse or trip a circuit breaker. And that's why these symptoms are uncommon for so many different processes. So for those who go online and they see, well, I have, yes, this mix of symptoms, That's simply fibromyalgia. And the key for fibromyalgia is not to have that label to stick on the disease, but to look for what in your individual case caused you to blow a fuse. Now, if you have, there are certain things that will lead me to recommend treatment with antibiotics. And for those with Lyme disease where you're caught in the middle of the argument, I think a better, more helpful term is often antibiotic-sensitive fibromyalgia or fatigue. And the symptoms that are going to tell me, hey, this is a part of fibromyalgia with an antibiotic-sensitive component, one, low-grade fevers. Do you have temperatures that frequently go over 98.6, at least in Fahrenheit? Do you have allergies to multiple different antibiotics? You're not allergic to medications except for all, for four unrelated antibiotics. That's not an allergy. You're killing something that's causing a reaction. Do you have periods where you take an antibiotic and you feel better? For dental work, you get it. You feel better. Do you have scalp scabs? Do you have chronic lung congestion? Do you have a history, not of lightheadedness and instability, that can happen with anything of fibromyalgia, but of actual vertigo, where you or the room feels like you're spinning in a circle? Dave, when people have one of these symptoms, in the presence of tired, achy brain fog, can't sleep, I'm going to go ahead and treat with an extended course of antibiotics and rotate between several different ones if needed, to see what their clinical response is. If their clinical response is either what we call the die-off reaction where you flare symptoms or an improvement of symptoms, I'm going to give them the label of antibiotic-sensitive fibromyalgia. And even those with Lyme's, again, if you don't treat the secondary fibromyalgia, all that's going to happen is you're going to get more and more antibiotics, more and more resistance, more and more candida overgrowth. You'll keep feeling a little better and then feeling worse and worse. It's like chasing a high for a heroin addict. Each time you get more and more antibiotics, you have to treat the whole process.
Let's talk about the pain that's associated with Lyme disease, and I guess fibromyalgia as well. You know, why do people get that pain, and how do you treat it?
Well, we talk about these being an energy crisis, and for most people, the pain begins with a shortening of the muscles. Anything that causes poor energy in a muscle will cause it to shorten. So if you have a hard day of physical work, you don't come home and say, honey, God, the rough day I've had, my muscles are so loose. You say, God, I'm so tight. Muscles don't have energy. They're like a spring. They get stuck in a shortened position. And after a couple of hours, weeks, or years that way, they hurt. When you have the chronic pain signal to the brain, if it persists, the brain starts to amplify it. It's as if you have a flashing light on your dashboard saying the oil is low. And the longer it goes on, the brighter and louder it gets. So it will then turn into nerve pain, where the numbness and tingling, burning, things along those lines. So by treating the underlying root causes of what you call the SHINE protocol, sleep, hormones, infection, nutrition, exercise, our published research show that 91% of people who have this mix of symptoms, and we'll see it even if they have a history of Lyme disease, will improve with an average 90% increase in quality of life. So this is very treatable. The pain decreased to the point where most people either had no pain or no longer qualified as even being diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So when you treat these root causes, the pain is going to go away or at least improve. There are a couple natural things that are outstanding for pain, too. There's one mix called curcumin, which is a curcumin natokinase, DLPA, Boswellia mix. And that, I call it a pain relief miracle. I have not found any medication that's as effective as this herbal mix. I've even seen people on high-dose morphine who are still in severe pain take this herb, and after 6 weeks, because it takes 6 weeks for the full effect, their pain was gone. So the curcumin, very nice approach for pain relief. There's a topical cream called comfrey, which is an old herb that many people find if they put on local areas that hurt a lot, they feel a lot better. Another mix would be willow bark, boswellia, and cherry. That's called End Pain. That works very well for the pain. And then there's a host of other things. Taking a bath, a hot bath with Epsom salts. You take 2 cups of Epsom salts. These are magnesium salts. Pour them in a tub of hot water. Add some lavender if you'd like, and then soak, and you'll find that the muscles will start to release. So in addition to medications, and the most expensive medications are not necessarily the most effective ones, Neurontin, Tramadol, those are two very good ones, cyclobenzaprine, in addition to the Lyricus and Baltacevello. So there's very few people that we can't get a pain-free or at least very, very good pain control.
We're talking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's a medical doctor and the director of Practitioners Alliance Network. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Lyme disease and fibromyalgia.